Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
An Erio's original.
Hi, it's Margaret Cho. June is Pride Month, and since we can't all be together to celebrate, The Margaret Cho is doing Pride bonus episodes every Thursday in June with special guests that'll leave you so proud, like Dan Savage, Melissa Rivers, Jackie B, and Cameron Esposito. So let's celebrate Pride together. Subscribe to The Margaret Cho on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Hey, it's Margaret, chiming in to ask you to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I'll read it on the pod. Here's a review from RNPHN. I would like you to know from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your continued content. You're helping keep a public health nurse sane. Hey, thank you so much, RNPHN. Please leave us a review and I'll read it. And thank you for your service, essential worker. Thank you.
Right now, you could either think the sky is falling and that life is done and there's uncertainty and doom, or you could think that there's something bigger is happening where you could shake your life etch-a-sketch. You could actually shuffle your cards of life and then decide what's important to you, who's important to you. So out of this, I think you have such great opportunity to just kind of redesign your life.
It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming.
Hi, this is Margaret Cho. You're listening to The Margaret Cho. Today, we have an amazing guest. He is the angry therapist. Today, we have John Kim.
Okay, it's just the Koreans now.
Yeah, the way it should be.
The way it should be.
Can I ask you a question? And I hope you say yes to this. Is partly me being on here because I'm Korean?
Nope.
Okay.
But it helps.
Yeah, because I grew up watching you. I grew up, I went to San Diego, saw you in concert, and I was just so inspired by you trailblazing, especially as a Korean, because I grew up in the 80s, and you know, it was like Long Duk Dong, and I remember we just weren't cool, you know?
No, you know, it's like we didn't have any images of ourselves at all. Right. I mean, there was just nothing. It's so weird.
What was the first thing you think that changed that, or do you think things have changed?
I don't think things have changed very much. Mm. I mean, you know, there's a little bit more. I think there's a little bit more in terms of visibility. There's like Crazy Rich Asians.
Right.
That's recent. There's a little bit more. But in general, I mean, I don't really see very much. You know, mm-hmm. I still mm-hmm. think that there's a long way to go. And especially right now, with all of this huge wave of violence towards Asian Americans mm. because of COVID-19 and this kind of blame that has shifted, which is very odd because it's very frustrating because you sort of seem to get a leg up culturally and that we're still sort of othered and we kind of catch all of the blame for anything that's sort of foreign, whether it's murder hornets or disease.
Right.
And I don't understand how to deal with that. So, but Long Duk Dong is a good example of where we sort of kind of like are it's okay to be racist against Asians because there's a long list of reasons. There's somehow this thing where it's not racist because, oh, it's funny. It's, I don't know. Like, it's a weird thing that we sort of had to take on the chin for however many generations. I don't know. Like, it's like Charlie Chan on.
Right. Yeah. And I remember, you know, Jerry Lewis taping his eyes back. And I'm hoping that, so I'm 47. I'm hoping that in my lifetime that we see significant change. But we will see, especially in media, you know. But it's not just media. Like, me being a Korean therapist, I was the only guy. Being because Koreans aren't really, you know, into self-help, at least my parents' generation. And so I was, you know, encouraged to go be a doctor, lawyer. And now being a C student, when I became a therapist, there was no Asians in that world at all, you know, so.
Yeah, and there really needs to be because of there's so much. Well, my family has had a long history with depression, mm-hmm. Mental illness, lots of alcoholism. I mean... Sure. Man, it's like real problem with it. I mean, I think Korea in general, but especially my family, really long history with alcoholism. And then, but depression is kind of like, it's almost like our family disease, but they sort of take pride in it and like a lot of toxic masculinity. But it kind of like, is, it sort of comes along with like workaholism, my family has a longstanding relationship with like owning liquor stores. And so they have a lot of like, you know, owning liquor stores, spending a long time, like working these like 20-hour days, drinking. And so it's a very abusive, self-abusive kind of thing. And, you know, there's a lot of suicide, a lot of anorexia in the women, a lot of... stuff. And then nobody seeks help. I mean, my generation is probably the first generation to really seek a lot of treatment or sobriety or anything like that.
Yeah. And I can relate to you. So we didn't own liquor stores, but my parents, you know, came to America, $500, and we fast food. So we had little hamburger hot dog stands and then eventually a Popeye's chicken. And
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and working, you know, mom driving to Long Beach and working, you know, the 16-hour days, fried chicken, getting held up at gunpoint, and then me just being raised by pop culture, you know, skating, breakdancing, and all of that. And then also my dad being an alcoholic, so not really there, and workaholic and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, really escaping into work and substances and but it's like, you know, they live really hard, whether it's drinking or work. So as a sort of like you're having to raise yourself. And so I'm glad, like I'm kind of I really am grateful for my parents really like showing me a work ethic. Because that's really what they modeled for me is that I do drive at things very hard. Like I work really hard and that's wonderful. But it's like I wish that they had an easier time of it. You know, they're still alive and they still like I think they take it a lot easier now, which is good.
Was comedy your way to escape or
I think so.
All this stuff?
I think so. Yeah, and it's also like a way to make sense of it, and it's also like I was not a good student, so I was I probably had some learning disabilities, and that made it really frustrating for me to study. I think I had some issues in school. I think that that was sort of what set me off on this other path, and so it was easy for me to fail. Oddly. And so I didn't have much to lose. So I didn't really have a lot invested in school. So it wasn't like I had a sense of needing to go into that status game that Korean Americans often buy into. Like I didn't care about going to an Ivy League university. Like my parents really desperately wanted that, you know, and I didn't want that. I didn't care to. So dropping out of that was really freeing. And I didn't need to buy into the status sort of ceremony. So that was good. And it was really hard for my parents to accept that, but it was okay after in the end.
Did they accept it once you became quote unquote successful?
Yes.
Did it have to be attached to a dollar sign for them to definitely be like, okay, yeah. And you know what? I have the same story. So my SAT scores were so low, the vice principal called me in and asked me if everything was okay at home, which I don't know if he would have said that if I wasn't Asian, but you know, C student. I didn't even apply to UC schools. So I went to Cal State Northridge just because school was never my thing, you know? And I studied film. Yeah, I studied screenwriting. And that was a joke. And it's like, what are you doing? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just kind of in the therapist world, you know, kind of being the guy that rolls up in coffee shops on his Harley and working online and doing these kind of unconventional ways of working that felt honest to me. And people are like, what is this guy doing? Why? And I'm like, I'm just doing things that don't feel honest to me, you know?
Yes. I think that's really important, though, because I think that Asian Americans really need fathering now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still important to be a dad. Like, we still have to, whether we have children or not, like, I don't have kids, but I think that we still have to be parenting, even if we don't have children. I don't know if you have children. But
brand new, 10 weeks old.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. She's in the other room getting breastfed, but
wow.
It's been crazy. I worked at nonprofit for 5 years in addiction, working with teenagers, and the common thread with probably 1,000+ fatherless nation. Dad was not. So dad's either not home physically or emotionally. And I think especially in the Korean culture, because we're workaholics, we're alcoholics, and we don't give our children that emotional milk. We don't have that kind of, maybe we do, but our parents didn't usually. And so, what you're talking about is huge. That could change everything, having a present father, you know, at home.
Yeah. And I think when we're doing that, like when we're still, when we're able to parent others, we're still parenting ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that's really significant. I mean, I feel like that's, you know, really important for me to do. Like if I'm like basically like reaching out to younger people, I feel like I'm actually like helping the younger self that is still within, you know, so I feel comforted too. But like, so you're a new dad. That's incredible.
Yeah. And I got to say, you know, I used to talk a lot of shit about, because how hard it is and no sleep. It's all that. It's hard. It's really hard. I don't want to complain, but it's not an exaggeration.
You know,
every 2 hours up, changing diapers. It's rewarding, but it's really hard.
But it's incredible. And it's really, and it's in an incredible time to be doing that, you know, like right now. But at least I think what it is that this time allows you to just be at home, you know?
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
It's amazing. It's a double-edged sword because, you know, it's also she hasn't seen anyone other than us. Like, you know, she was born in pandemic. And so I think it's probably the best time to raise a child because you're going to have zero FOMO and you're busy changing diapers. But there's also this weird isolation where she's not able to go out and see the world. And there's a little bit of fear in that, you know, socialize and all that stuff.
But it's very cool. It's very cool.
Yeah. It's the worst time to actually be in labor, though. It's the worst time to be delivering. And we got in right before the quarantine hit. So we got really lucky.
Right. Because it's like right in that space of like just exactly before. So before that sort of rush of. So that's incredible.
Yeah. I feel like, when Indiana Jones grabs his hat before the door closes, I just feel like we just in time had the baby because there's a lot of people now in hospitals where they close it off or even like family can't come in, you know, like all of this. And it's just creating a lot of panic. And I didn't want that experience for myself.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But that's great. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. New chapter,
That's really cool. That's a very new chapter. Yeah, I think if I had, I'm really scared to have kids. Like, that's my main, I think, fear is I am so, I'm really afraid of loving anybody that much.
Oh, interesting.
That's my main. fear.
What's scary for you? Is it because the permanence? Is it because you have to take care of something? It's like no longer about you? Or is it because...
Yeah. I think it's like because it's no longer about me, or it's just sort of like the inability to be free of that. Like it's the inability of like, I have no ability then to walk away from that.
Right. Right, you know, the permanence,
you know, the permanence of it, because I really can't at that point. There's no cards left to sort of play out, you know, like that. Then it's like, well, I'm stuck, mm-hmm. you know, because that then there's nothing. The cards are stacked against you, sort of a gambling thing. You know, they're always going to win. Because that they have everything on their side, you know. Because right. I love them beyond. Yeah, I couldn't. The possibility of loss is too great to bear. Yeah. You know that's. I think that's probably what's always prevented me from thinking about even having a family or even wanting children or just the idea of that. I don't know. I do love kids, and I have a lot of younger people in my life, certainly around me. But it's like a definite thing of like, oh, that the permanence or the it is the vulnerability.
Yeah, of course. But there's this other thing that happens where you it becomes bigger than you, where you almost become fearless in a lot of things, for like obviously protection, but also like in pursuing your dreams and everything that you're doing, because now there is someone else who's attached to you, who's looking up to you, who's dependent on you. It almost puts a fire in your belly, you know? There's like a turbo that kicks in, which is really interesting.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I think it's really like, maybe I don't want to live that much.
right.
You know, like I
you
maybe
mean that,
don't.
Right. Yeah. That long or that much?
Or that much? Like I think, like I don't want my aperture to be that wide. Why would I want to live that openly? Like why would I want my aperture to be that broad? If I could just open it, if I could just ratchet it this much instead of this much, like, you know, it's like I don't need that much.
It's almost like you almost prefer more I don't want to say simple, but going from narrow to wide can be terrifying. It's a lot of responsibility, it's a lot of stuff you can't control,
right?
And of course with that comes anxiety and all of that.
If I could just control it, if it's just a little bit narrower scope, a narrower scope in this, like, maybe in the next lifetime I could handle a bit more. You know, I'm like much like, I'll do, you know, I like to push things off into like, I like to postpone. I'm a postponer. Mm. I love to cancel things because that makes me feel alive.
Oh, interesting. I like that mindset. Man, you're really flipping the script. I love this. So are you also like that with career-wise, being comfortable and narrow and not wide, or like also, you know, all the hats that you wear and how people see you?
No. With career stuff, I'll just do anything. Like, I really like to sort of take chances in like work stuff, and I like to really go for it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I would love that. And then... but with like relationships, with things like that, I do really more tend to be in a kind of a safer zone, and then also like in a predictable zone. And then also I like to bargain for less or stay in things that I know that I can control, because I don't want for too much, or like I'll stay in relationships that I don't like because I know that what to expect.
Right. So this is going to is this going to turn into a therapy session? Because I've got a lot to say. I got a lot to say about that. So how if you are in relationships where you want to feel safe, then is it hard for you to be vulnerable? I mean, is it hard to produce that relationship glue? Do you love from a distance? And you may be okay with that. Yeah.
But it's also like I'll stay in relationships that I really don't like with people that I don't like, because I know that
I know what's going to happen, and I can control what's going to happen. And that's why I'm not in a relationship exactly at the moment. But you know, I think that, and it's really upsetting to my family for me to be single, because that's just like the worst thing that can happen.
Right. Right.
But I really like it, because I think it's really like, it's the first time, you know, that I've actually been single.
Have you always been in relationships?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then this is actually good for you then. Like,
It feels really good, because I've always been partnered, and it's like the first time that I've been really like brave enough to be alone, and it feels really special and good. And
there's something happening right now. So I have another book coming out with Harper, and it's called Single on Purpose. And there's this kind of movement happening that's, I think, a byproduct of the toxic swipe culture and us turning into baseball cards and how we meet and stuff, where people are actually now empowered to stay single. People are now actually embracing this idea of being self-partnered, you know, like, I'm okay right now. Let me just do some things and make it about me. And I think that's great. I'm all about that. I think a lot of times we jump into relationships way too fast and too often, and then there's no space for growth or revelations.
Yeah. So I'm 51, and I've been partnered for about 30 years.
Wow.
So this is the first time I've been single for about 30 years, and I'm really pleased.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
So wait, when was your first relationship? Like 20 or 18?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's probably, I've been serial monogamous since I was about 16.
Wow.
So, I mean, in brief moments of being single in and out. So it's been about 30 years, you know, in and out of things. But so now I'm single, but I'm seeing somebody that I really like, and he and I are gonna, when the quarantine is over, we're gonna do honeymooner cosplay. So we're gonna go to Niagara Falls, and we're gonna have a honeymoon, and but we're not gonna get married. We're just gonna tell everybody that we're married, and we're gonna have a honeymoon experience without the wedding and without living together. But we'll just go for the honeymoon only, which I think is really fun.
Yeah,
so,
that is
but
fun.
I think it's really, I think it's good to be self-partnered. I think it's like the thing that I need, but it's really upsetting to Korean parents, because they can't accept.
Yeah.
Because their idea of hell is like a woman living on her own
in this age group, not having children, right?
Right.
Right. What are some revelations you've had about yourself so far being single?
It's really a happy experience that I really love, that I can be on my own. And like last year, I went on a vacation by myself to, then this is like, would be really upsetting to my parents. I went on a vacation on my own to Japan.
Oh, nice.
And that would be really upsetting to my parents.
Right, like, right.
For me, in my 50s, for my 50th birthday, that I took myself on a month-long vacation to Japan would be so upsetting to them, you know, but
there's a lot of layers there. There's a lot of subtext.
Hugely upsetting.
Right.
But, you know, and that was like this present to myself, you know, that they couldn't really even comprehend. But it's like, I think that it's like the joy of aloneness or solitude, and the joy of like, that it's not a sorrowful thing, and it's not a consolation prize. It's actually really fun to go on vacations on your own.
Absolutely. I mean, that my whole story started with a divorce and going on my version of, you know, eat, left, pray, and getting into CrossFit and motorcycles and all the stuff by myself, you know, and just really sitting with myself. And actually, you know, the world, we talk a lot about self-love, and I think it's become a t-shirt, and it's kind of, I don't know. I think a lot of people say it, but don't really practice it. And I think for me, it was actually the journey of liking yourself, not so much loving yourself. You know, loving yourself is a choice, but liking yourself is much more difficult, or getting to a place where you start to like yourself.
And is it something that, like, you even understood before? I mean, would you consider yourself kind of like a lone wolf even before that? I mean, did you know before you went on the journey, or did you have an inkling of it?
I've always been, and maybe you felt this way, I've always been the black sheep. You know, I've always been, especially in the Asian community, you know, the kid with that didn't get the good grades, that didn't go to an Ivy League school, that, you know, studied film, that did screenwriting, that, you know, got into the restaurant bar business, and then became a therapist. So I've always been that guy. So I don't know. I just feel like that follows me. And I kind of, instead of resisting it, I actually embrace it. And I feel like it's, I'm meant to hold that with two hands. It's going to take me somewhere. It's going to give me some sense of purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think for me, like, I always was in difficult partnerships. Mm-hmm. Like that I would always partner with, I'd always have friendships with really damaged people who were a lot of fun, but were really difficult. And every time it would always end in something really disastrous where I would be like, how did I get here? Like, why did this happen? And, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be a romantic relationship, but it would always be something like would be some sort of financial hardship or some kind of thing where it was just this mismatch that would be like a disaster. And it kept happening. And then I realized, what if I just did something on my own? Mm-hmm. And then it was a great thing. And so I found more success if it was just my own venture, whether it was stand-up comedy or a vacation, something as simple as a vacation. It was so much easier on my own.
Are you a fixer? Do you tend to, you know, take in the strays?
People?
Yeah. And then,
yeah.
And I'm sure that gives you a sense of worth and value and love. And all
for
that.
Sure. Yeah. But it's much better to do that with somebody with not a person. It's better to do that with an animal. Like, so I have a rescue dog now who's the best, and I should do that with an animal, not a person. Mm-hmm. Because that's not absolutely. I mean, it's not my place to do that with a person.
Well, also you lose yourself, you know. And right. I think what you're experiencing now, the empowerment of being single, you can't when there is a codependency or a meshment, or you're losing yourself in someone else, whether that's a friend or a partner. We forget who we are. Like, it's hard for right. us to even take care of ourselves or like ourselves, because we're so we put the relationship on a very high shelf.
Right. And it's just it's not healthy. And that's not what relationship is for. You know, mm-hmm. it's really it's the wrong kind of thing. But we're constantly told by society that's what we're supposed to do in a relationship, or that's what romance right. is, you know, like in movies and.
Yep.
I mean, that's what film is all about. Film is like telling us like all of these weird stories about what we are supposed to do in relationship. It's like take all this damage and turn it into like romance. And that's not mm-hmm. right either. It's like, what the hell? Like, this is like so wrong.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
I agree. And I definitely bought into that, being a hopeless romantic and growing up with Disney movies and stuff. And I thought that in a relationship, if you go down, I'm going down with you, you know, and that should not be the case. You know, you should give someone your hand, but not your life. And
right.
I thought if I go down, you go down with me. And I mm-hmm. kind of saw love as two people in a jacuzzi facing each other. And, you know, 10 years after my rebirth and becoming a therapist and all that, now I see love as two people sitting in two different bathtubs facing in the same direction.
And yeah.
That's a lot more healthy.
It is more healthy. I mean, it is like, you know, separate but together, but on each other. Like, it's like on a separate journey,
right.
but it both enjoying the separate journey and being able to come together at different points in it mm-hmm. and talk about it. But, yeah. you know, knowing that we can have these separate lives, and it's like we're all experiencing these journeys, and sometimes we can share and sometimes we can separate. And, you know, that autonomy is really important. And, you know, that like enmeshment is so I don't know, I'm sick of it, you know, I'm sick of that.
And part of it, I gotta be honest with you, came from Korean culture. You know, my parents didn't have a healthy, they were very codependent, and there's a machismo and, you know, the whole like men don't have feelings and men need to, you know, do X, Y, Z. And so there wasn't a lot of space for me to even express myself. So growing up, I didn't even know what healthy looked like, you know?
They do some weird stuff though. Koreans are like, they really reject, there's like two different mindsets with Koreans. Like, so there's like the separation of the gender roles of like the machismo, like the soju drinking, I'm going to eat the octopus alive, kill it with the chopsticks, and reject any sort of like womanly thing, whatever. And it's a really ajushi, ajumma kind of separation. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's like the matching t-shirts where you go on the Chu website and you buy the matching boyfriend girlfriend t-shirts.
Right.
You know, those ones where they dress alike. Yeah, it's so crazy. And then they have the makeup. They have the same makeup, like boy girl makeup. It's so crazy. God. Like, it's so bizarre how much they're either totally separate or totally together, where we can't just be individuals. We have to either completely separate ourselves or absolutely enmesh into one. And it's like, either way, we're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, they're two extremes, you know?
Yeah. No, in no way can we ever experience wholeness, because we're completely separate in either instance, you know?
Right, right. So what do you think needs to happen to change that? Do you think that we're headed toward changing that, or no? You think we're just living on islands right now, and that's just the way?
I don't know, because there's real strength. You know, like it really actually came to a head in Parasite, you know, because I was watching Parasite and I was like, you know, it's like that was really this comedy that's really about extremes, because Korea is really all extremes. There's no subtlety. And that's the main problem with our, I think our society there is that I think that's why we sort of fetishize Europe, because Europe is really all about subtlety, and like Korea is all about like, it's like extreme.
That's why we're all addicted to the Korean dramas, right?
Yeah, because Korea is always like, it's like,
Life
even like Han is like, Han is why we need therapy, is because, you know, like Han is just like, it's just the state of being, the national state of being is Han is, if you're not Korean and you're listening, Han is like, how would you think Han is like the, it's like the experience of like, sadness that is inherent to the Korean spirit, that is like, the state of being that is, this it's melancholy. But depression, but it's not depression. It's like joy, but it's like the minor chord in a song. It's like
the
B-sides it's like it's like the joyful tears. It's like the bitterness of dark chocolate.
Yeah, and you know what? It's definitely interesting. It's definitely exciting. And it's also like Telemundo, right? And Korean dramas are kind of the same, that like when it's passion, it's fire, and, you know, it's all or nothing. It's life or death. And I think that living there, of course, is not sustainable or healthy, but there's something about watching that that's exciting, you know?
Yeah, it's like the bite of kimchi. If you like spicy food, it's like the initial tiny bite of a spicy food that you like. It's the slight pain of the things that you enjoy. You know, it's the little bit of pain that we endure of the things that we enjoy. It's like that sort of thing of like, you know, whatever is slightly painful about what you love about life. So I think that's what it is, but Koreans tend to sort of indulge in that a lot.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Is it self-deprecating though, or no?
Yeah.
Punishment a little bit, right?
A little bit, but it's also, but I think we can get very deep into it, and I don't know, but like in codependency and stuff like that, it can be really hard. And I think like right now, just with the
what I think everybody's focusing on with the quarantine is like a lot of like mental health. Like that's the main issue that people are talking about right now is like that. I think that's why like there's all of these like weird protests of people like, we want to go back to work. People don't know who they are without their vocations, which I get.
Sure, sure. It's also, you know, I think with relationships, this whole thing is putting a black light on relationships. And I think that this whole thing is either going to harden you or soften you, depending on, you know, what you do, depending on if you're running away from yourself or toward.
Yeah. Running away, like running away from yourself, running away from your relationships mm-hmm. and your family and your identity. And it's like, but it's like, what do you think that people should be doing right now for their mental health? What's the best thing that we should, from like a therapist standpoint, what's the best thing we can do for ourselves?
Oh God, so many things. First, I think structure, you know, having some structure in your life. So the days don't bleed and then you're not just, you know, living in your living room, eating chips and drowning in television. But there's something, you're being productive in some way, you know? And then also, I think it's such a great time to look inward, you know? I think mm-hmm. it's a really good time. Like right now, you could either think the sky is falling and that life is done and there's uncertainty and doom, or you could think that there's a something bigger is happening where you could shake your life at your sketch. You could actually shuffle your cards of life and then decide what's important to you and who's important to you. So out of this, I think you have such a great opportunity to just kind of redesign your life. You know, mm-hmm. There are a lot of divorces happening. There are relationships falling apart. And there are, you know, people switching careers. There's all this shakeup happening. And I think when that happens, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. No, it is good. It is good. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. I mean, talking about swipe culture, there's a lot of people swiping on people trying to be hooking up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
That's kind of crazy.
It's crazy. It's dangerous. I mean, maybe that's why they're doing it is because it's not you're not supposed to at all right now. And so there's excitement.
Yeah.
That, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's really it's like, what do you I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's a good idea because it's like you just don't want to. I'm like, what kind of germs are you going to?
Oh, it's bad. You know, it's like in high school where you're put in time out or you're grounded, and that's going to make you climb out your bedroom window a lot more than if you were just kind of free to do whatever you want.
Yeah, but back then the worst thing that you could get was mono. Remember right when now. Mono was like the worst disease that you could get?
Yeah,
it's like way worse right now.
It's worse. It's uncertain. Yeah, it's confusing. We don't really know what it is. I think all of that.
It's very all mysterious. It's all mysterious and. But it's a good time now to like, yeah, I've been doing a lot of walks. I've been watching a lot of film noir, which is mm-hmm. helping me like because I think the simpler movies are helping.
I like where you're going with this because going back to what you should do during quarantine mm-hmm. and you're just talking about movies. But what if you actually just kind of went analog with all areas of your life? So. Playing vinyl, watching these old movies, really mm-hmm. simplifying. And I think you'll actually end up getting to like mindfulness. I think you'll actually end up being more present by going back and by simplifying, you know?
Yeah.
Cooking again, right? Instead of using apps to deliver food.
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah, I love
it's
it.
It's good idea.
I love where you're going. Yeah.
Yeah, I could crank up the VCR.
VCR.
I'm going to crank up the CD player. I've got, I've got a cassette, a big boom box here somewhere.
Yep. And also like talking on the phone for hours.
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's do that.
I got a landline, I'm sure, somewhere. Party line, somewhere.
Fax me.
I'm going to fax you. I'm going to fax you I'll fax it to you. Where can people like find out about all of your things? What's your handles?
Just The Angry Therapist, Instagram. I guess I'm pretty much the most active at The Angry Therapist.
At The Angry Therapist on Insta.
Yeah.
And well, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today. And
thank you
mazel tov on your baby and your book.
Yes. To be continued. Thank you so much.
So many things.
Yeah, and congrats on your singlehood journey. I'm excited to kind of follow it. And follow
it's the best.
And see what happens. And
yeah.
You're not going to jump into something again real soon.
Oh, no, no, no. I think my goal is to try to stay with this for the rest of it.
By rest of it, you mean like by this week? Are you talking about by the rest of the year?
For the rest for the rest of the time I'm around.
Nice, nice.
I'm trying to stay for the distance, but we'll see.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Margaret. Thank you for everything you're doing and all the trailblazing. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep.
I think I'm coming apart. The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Tracy Levy and original music by Garrison Starr. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Erios. Powered by Acast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.